Hello?
Hello? Hello? Lucy, I'm home!
Yo, it's poppin', man. It's your man, Dean Edwards. Welcome to another episode of the Motherfucking Protocol. Yeah. And we're back, man. We're back once again. Once again, here, rocking out on all things comedy. The network, the brand, the Motherfucking Protocol. Aspect, Adolfo. Now I'm just playing. Check out some of our friends and brothers and sisters on All Things Comedy. A lot of talented comics on there that have something funny and interesting and poignant to say, man. Shout out to Sky Radio as well. And you know, last week we had so much fun with my man Big Mike in the building. Big Mike is back. Mike, what up?
What up? What up?
You know what? And yeah, right?
It's a new day, that's right.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. And I'm feeling good, baby. I'm feeling good because you here. You here with me, man. You know what? Make sure, big shout out to everybody that came out to Levity Live last week. We rocked out. Actually, no. I was throwing because we have my man Vessi. I'm just excited that Vessi and I are about to get to rock out again together. It's been a while since we rocked out together, you know. But yeah, myself, Harris Stanton, Joseph Vessi is going to be hosting, and it's going to be a lot of flavor. Yeah, it's going to be real incredible. You know what I'm saying? But if you listen to the Father Mucker Protocol, we appreciate it. This is your, if you're a first-time listener, go right down there. Make sure you click subscribe. Subscribe to our podcast, yeah. You know, if you're on SoundCloud or iTunes, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you download so you can listen on the go. Make sure you tell a friend. If you listen, I'm hearing a lot of people saying, yo, you know what? I just stumbled onto your podcast, which I appreciate. So I'm glad you stumbled onto it. Make sure you tell a friend of yours that listens to and rocks out with podcasts so we get our numbers up, son. So we get our numbers up. I actually have something planned and in the works for later this year with this podcast to take it even bigger. Take it even bigger, more supreme than we already have, huh? Why not? And you know, last week we were we were rocking out with Mike and we were talking about the actual shoot that we did at Gotham Comedy Club and just giving some insight as to when and why you shoot to newer comics, not only the why, but how you shoot properly and what you use the shoot for, what you use, whatever your final edit is. What you use it for? And you said something that was you said submission versus submit or special, yeah, something like that. You know, because there is a difference. And
well, taping yourself is what.
Yeah, and so the then we got into a discussion afterwards where we were saying, you know what, if you're a performer, any performer, whether you're a comedian, stand up comic, an improv comic. A social media kind of, no, I'm sorry. An actor, a singer, an athlete, hell, a doctor, you know. No, because if you operate, you
can film yourself surgery.
You're not going to film it, but you will have someone that might record it. It's good to watch yourself, man, you know, because... Well, Michael was explaining that our good friend...
Before you do the big production...
Right.
Tape yourself...
Yeah.
...to see what you actually look like.
So run through, because you want to
give... money.
Yeah. Yeah. Give yourself an eye. It's similar... If you're an MC, if you're a rapper, right? And you don't plan on... you don't plan on being a lyricist, but you do plan on touring, it's going to behoove you... to record yourself performing. If you're performing at a small club, maybe just a hole-in-the-wall club, in East New York on Atlantic Avenue or Pennsylvania, or maybe you're Pennsylvania Avenue, not in Amish country, just so we're clear. Or, you know, maybe you you got this big opportunity to perform on a show with someone that's more established, and you're their opening act at SOB's on Varick Street down in the Village. Or you're on a level of Kev Hart or Louis C.K. or whomever. It's good to tape yourself. Chris Rock, let me tell you something. When Chris Rock is preparing a new special, before he even prepares the special, when he's getting ready to go out on the road, he tapes himself. He goes on stage with a yellow legal pad, and he also has someone shooting him. Now, you know, going, because back in the days, you only had, what was it called? I used to have a mini tape recorder.
Camcorder?
I had a camcorder, too. But when the camcorder, when it was too much to, like, set up the camera every time. Yeah. Like, the best way to record yourself, honestly, is to get, have yourself on camera, a camcorder of some sort, and record yourself. Or even just on your iPhone. Or your Droid. I'm a Droid, and I just sold them out by saying iPhone. Right. Damn it. But you want to record yourself and watch it immediately. And by immediately, I mean within a 24-hour period.
Don't because, be scared.
Because what happens, I'm guilty of this, you'll mess around, record yourself, and then you're like, I'll watch it tomorrow. And then tomorrow turns into the day after and so forth. You got to watch yourself immediately because you might have said something in the moment that was fresh, and you can, if you watch it within a day's time, the idea of why you said something spontaneous and the mood and the feeling, it's all still fresh and in your head, you know, versus watching it a week later and then you're like, damn, why was that funny, you know? But you got to watch yourself. You were saying that Vessi, you said to him for years.
Took him a while, yeah.
Took in what way?
He... You know, just didn't. I don't know. He was afraid to watch. You know, the
as a lot of as a, and you hear yeah. a lot of performers say that. Oh man, I can't. Yeah, and it's
can't watch myself.
Can't watch
can't,
myself.
Can't hear myself or watch myself.
And do you think a lot of people think that sounds arrogant?
No, vain? I mean actors. I've heard actors say that they've never watched the final cut of a blockbuster movie
right.
because they can't
right.
watch themselves. I mean, these are some of the most talented. It was De Niro who said
yeah,
that.
I think I've heard De Niro say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that he never saw Raging Bull or something up until, you know, years later. It's just
I never wanted to you know to watch myself. I did things in that movie and you know it just never occurred to me to watch it. But understand the reason why a lot of people won't watch themselves is because. You know, many artists are perfectionists.
Right, right.
And so watching yourself on camera can be tormenting
right.
because you're always going to find something you could have
exactly.
done better.
Yep.
You're always
that's what it is.
Watch it and say, ah, damn, I should have. Why is my hand just sitting? I could have been using my hand in that scene to emote.
You're your own worst critic.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
it is.
And I am.
I get it too. Yeah.
I get it.
But,
I ain't gonna front, yeah,
but it's a useful thing.
It's very useful.
To get better. Just
because you're going to catch things that you might not have caught before. You're going to catch your nervous tics. You're going to catch, you know, I used to say and whatnot all the time.
Oh, really?
Oh, dude.
Okay.
It was, there you it was awful. I used to, everything, you know what I mean? It's, that was my version of, you know what I'm saying?
That's a nerve, yeah.
It was a nervous tick. And then, yeah. God bless the dead, Monteria Ivy from Uptown Comedy Club. I mean, it's so much so that he used to call it, he used to say, Dean Edwards and whatnot, you know.
Oh, wow.
But he wasn't saying it, he was saying it out of love. He was saying it out of, hey, man, you're talented, but you have this thing that's, that's jarring because when someone has a little tick, whether it's you know your hand banging against your knee to every time you say something you look to the left to you saying and whatnot after everything,
yeah, it's
people
not.
Start saying yo, is he okay?
Right,
what's wrong with this dude? So I get it.
It kills the flow too,
Definitely kills the flow, kills the rhythm of
too repetitive.
and way too repetitive. Repetition is good as far as you doing your jokes over and over, as we discussed last week. But repetition, for no other reason other than you just being nervous and not realizing you're doing it, that's on you, because you do have a choice to listen to yourself and catch yourself. And I'm glad Joseph has. I'm glad Joseph started, because you said he wouldn't listen until Larry. Larry Moss, yeah. Of course, is Larry, who I'm speaking of, renowned acting coach, and just good all around human being in spirit, Larry Moss. Someone actually just reached out to me. They were like, "Are you taking his class again this year?" I was like, "Nah, because I'm gonna be on the road." But I loved, because his class is usually in New York. The workshop is like 3 weeks in February. But I'd like to revisit Larry's workshop maybe next year, even if just to audit, just to watch some other actors work, and remind myself of what I might not have been doing, or what, because you get lazy, you pick up bad habits. But thank you, Larry, for all you've given us, and for giving Joseph a reason to watch himself, so he can grow and be even more brilliant than we already know he is. Yeah, like I said, y'all can catch me, myself. You can just catch me, Harris Stanton, and my man Joseph Vesey hosting for us. You know what?
Which is it?
You got? No, you know what? It did pass. Because that one, Ed, oh well. You edit that part out?
Yeah.
You'll edit that part. Sorry about that. because that one will drop. Okay, it makes sense now. Now I know what I'm doing. Now we good. anyway, so much for plugging last week. Anyway, yo, so bigger than all of that, man, I wanted to bring Mike on because, as y'all know from The Force Awakens last year, we both are big Star Wars nerds, Star Wars heads, and we realized that we didn't have a recorded session of us discussing Rogue One.
The new one.
Why didn't we do that, Mike? What were we thinking?
I don't know.
Mike, you could talk a little more. Well, this is a podcast.
I actually did hurt myself, so I have an excuse. But
what happened?
My elbow. Busted my arm.
For those that don't, Mike lost a gang of weight. So when he was shooting, when I saw him for the first time in a while at Gotham last month, I'm like, "Yo, son, Mike looks sexy. You got abs now. Oh, women pushing up on the regular now." This dude, he ain't got a six pack. He got like three. He got three. You had an accident. Tell us about it.
Fell off a mountain bike.
Damn.
Dislocated the elbow.
Shoot.
Which is the worst pain I've ever felt in my life. So, and that was over the break, the Christmas holiday, whatever.
Where were you riding a bike? Well, I guess the winters aren't covered with snow in New York City anymore.
I mean, I was just exercising, trying to, just get that cardio thing
going.
Right. And I ride everywhere.
Right.
I just took a bad turn and got caught. The wheel went over the handlebars, landed on my arm. Arm did not have enough.
And you tried bracing yourself.
Yeah, I didn't, but it just...
Which is natural.
Yeah, so I had a partial, a break, but like a radial head break, whatever technical thing they call it. And yeah, it hurt like hell. And they had to pop it back in. It was dislocated. I tell you what, though, here's a segue. With Rogue One was like, it helped. It helped me heal.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah, because I saw it like three or four times.
Oh, okay.
I had nothing else to do. It was a
work. Right.
It was in a cast.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, okay. So tell me, what was it? First of all, I have a lot of... Okay, so what was it about Rogue One That you know what? We have this thing in our house called Rose and Thorn, where at dinner we go over what bad happened during the day, and maybe there were no thorns
that
day. I actually forget. I don't remember, but we do Rose and Thorns. So you'll start with, okay, today I was kind of bummed out that this happened.
Right.
But you always end positive. So you do thorn first and then end on a rose. Something beautiful about the day. You know, you're like, okay.
Parenting.
I arrived somewhere late, which bummed me out because I thought I gave myself enough time to get there on time.
Right.
But the rose could be, but you know what? I'd been waiting to hear some good news, and I got that news today, you know. So, what is it about Rogue One did you have anything about Rogue One that you did not like? For those that don't know, Rogue One was sort of spinoff to the original Star Wars, which in the canon is Episode 4, A New Hope. But to me, as I'm sure with Mike, it's just Star Wars. I don't even, right. I rebuke calling it A New Hope. I'm like, nah, Star Wars was Star Wars, and the rest were in the Star Wars universe. But the original Star Wars is Star Wars. I'm not calling it A New Hope.
There was not really anything I didn't like.
Okay, good.
I really think it was, you know, top notch.
Okay.
Everything about it was, more adult.
Yeah.
You know? So for anybody who has not gotten into Star Wars stuff because it's too childish or something, they think,
right.
This one is for the adults.
Right.
Because, you know, spoilers here, right? We don't care. It's been out.
It's been out. Because they're close to a billion.
Everybody dies at the end. That never happens in stuff. So all
you went all out.
Well, that's what happens.
I was going teasing with it, yeah.
I mean, and just the more complex plot as far as the subject matter of how it was that good. I heard Kevin Smith say,
Kevin Smith, the director.
The director, yeah, who's a big Star Wars guy, of course.
Junkie.
Yeah. You ought to see the last 15 minutes of this movie will blow your mind.
Dude.
And then I was like, nah, he's hyping it up. And then I went to see it and it was just like, wow, that was, you know.
Yeah.
The last 15, 20 minutes.
Dude, that so many great. Well, what, and you and I discussed it? The beauty of Rogue One, in stark contrast to all the other movies, even the original Star Wars, the prequels with The Phantom Menace all the way through Revenge of the Sith, you're dealing with the governmental aspect.
Political stuff.
The political stuff. With regards, and then the politics lead to fighting and warring.
Right.
But when you watch those old, any of the previous movies, the war is almost like that's just dressing, window dressing.
Right.
Right?
It's more about the main characters.
Yeah, it's more about the main characters. In Rogue One is a 1940s World War II movie.
Exactly.
Rogue One is a war movie.
Right.
And war isn't always war. It's a suicide mission. Bush Cassidy and Sundance Kids. It's this movie that you're hoping, just like in a real war. Like I just saw Hacksaw Ridge.
Right? Okay. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Really good movie. Well shot. And Hacksaw Ridge. It's almost like you should watch Hacksaw Ridge and Rogue One in the same afternoon to get a better understanding of what I mean. Rogue One is a war movie in that you realize, yo, war sucks because every soldier, regardless of which side they're on, whether for sake of the Star Wars world, you're dealing with the rebellion and you're dealing with the Imperial... the Empire. Dealing with the rebellion and the Empire. And so it's the equivalent of you know, Japan and America, or, you know, Germany versus everybody, you know.
Insurgents in Iraq.
Yeah.
Anything.
Right. You know? And there's always a side of it that feels like they're doing the right thing. You know, right. Soldiers think they're doing the right thing because they are, and even if they're doing the wrong thing, they're programmed into thinking they are doing the right thing. And so that's how you can get them to go to war, fight, and possibly die
right.
on behalf of that cause. Watching Star Wars, a Rogue One, a Star Wars story, you get the idea of how, not only how senseless war can be, but also how hopeless war can be when you're out there on the front lines.
Yep.
You know, because like you said, everybody.
Yep.
When I realized how dire it was when, what's the dude's name? Roz, he's from The Night Of. He played the defected Imperial...
Jin's father?
No, not Jin's yeah. father. No, the... He was for the Empire, and then he defected. He was the pilot.
Oh, the pilot.
Yeah.
His Bodhi was the... on the Rebellion.
Right.
I forget his name.
Right. So, is the guy's name Roz Emanuel? He was in this HBO series, The Night Of. He's got a lot of heat right now. He was in the newest Jason Bourne movie as well. So, there's that... When they all were in the final act, when they all land on the planet, there's a point where somebody looks back at him.
It was
Bodhi.
Bodhi Rock.
It was Bodhi.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay.
And they say to him, "All right, keep you are our only way off of this planet, right?" I remember when I saw it the first, because I saw it a couple of times too. And I remember when I saw it the first time, I was like, because you go to movies and know if you start, you know the motifs, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm watching, I'm like, I don't like how that sounds. Mm. And this one way in, one way out thing. Nobody can fly one of these. So that, and then you add, fast forward probably 20 minutes and or 15 minutes, and a stormtrooper tosses a grenade in.
Right.
And when that happened, I was like, ah. Yeah, and then cut to the Asian cat with the big gun, and he kind of notices. He looks over the horizon, and he knows that his ride home,
yep,
just got destroyed, and then he realizes, I'm one with the Force. The Force is with me. I'm one with the Force. The Force is with me. I am one with the Force. The Force is with me, and it's tragic. Really?
It was dystopian sci-fi. It wasn't happy.
Right.
It had
That's
that,
the best way to put it.
Exactly, yeah.
As I, you know, my daughter actually said that. She was like, well, it's more dystopian because there's no hope.
Right.
Which sucks, but...
And what's good about that is it's relatable to the real world.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what happens in the real world. So they're drawing on elements... from maybe history, maybe current events. Yeah. And that's why it's more adult.
Right.
And there's more, because what adult wants to see something, you know, that's maybe too happy? Because, you know, you say to yourself, that's not that realistic. This right. this was more, I mean, true to
right.
the way war, you know, happens. And Hitler, you know, all of that stuff. Think about, you know, all the things that happened, how many people died. So they never really... showed that
right.
side of Star Wars.
Right, right.
Never really saw that.
Right.
So now you see that, and also for the fans.
Mm. You just sounded like walking for the fans.
For the fans. Because I'm excited. Like, right. it fills in.
Yeah.
It gives you this whole thing, and it didn't let you down about maybe things you were thinking about, like
yes.
what happened before.
Yeah.
How did they get the plans?
Yeah.
Why was this Death Star so easy to blow up? Right. That always bothered me.
But you know,
later on when I got older, it did.
The beauty of these movies, even with Force Awakens, and I've said it before, the beauty of these films is that now you have multiple generations of students of these movies, of these films. And you have people like yourself and myself that grew up on the original Star Wars. You have a generation of cats that came up during the era of the prequels that then went and researched the original Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. And, excuse me, so they've been able to now, over time, say, you know what, well, why, if it was only 2 meter shot.
Right.
Right? Because when you watch the original, you're like, wait, so this photon shot had to go just right.
Right.
And go into that little small hole to activate the Death Star's self-destruct. The thing
is, who would build something that was so fragile?
Right.
Like, you know, and now you get this backstory about a defector who intentionally made like a booby trap in his own design.
Right.
So that,
because he knew, yeah.
And there's the moral aspect of it. Like, he was doing it maybe for the money or something or you know, for the power, and then he starts to realize the conflict in himself. You know, this is not a good thing I'm building here.
Yeah.
This massive thing that's going to destroy
planets.
Yeah, and so he had a guilt about it, and then he decided.
Well, because
to do
he had
something.
A daughter, he had a family.
He had the daughter, right?
You know,
and so you know, and that's more, you know, realistic human side of what you. Really didn't see in the other ones.
Right.
You know, which are more for kids, which is fine. I don't have a problem with it.
Right.
So this is given, you know, maybe a different audience.
Yeah.
I don't know if small children are, you know, get into
you know
something
what?
Like this.
Yeah, Rogue One, you watch Rogue One, you're like, this movie's really not for like children, you know? It's the equivalent.
The heroes die at the end. No kid wants, how do you play with the toys after? It's like, you know, they're all dead. Like, think about it. It's true. Kids, kids want their characters to live on, you know, in their own mind.
Right. You know, even when you played with your Obi-Wan Kenobi, Ben Kenobi, in the bathtub, you're like, well, he's still alive because the Force
Ghost,
Force carries him. But man, it was like I've seen trailers for this new Wolverine movie, this new X-Men Logan, right? Same thing. This is not a movie you should bring your children to.
Yeah.
You know, this looks like the mature man's X-Men movie.
So the writing's starting to, you know, cross over to some more adult themes with some of the stuff Marvel's doing.
Right.
And now the Disney stuff.
Well, it's also like I give kudos to Frank Miller and the Dark Knight series because I think they.
Oh, hell yeah, that started.
They were the ones that sort of started, or he was the one that started updating and saying, you know what, these characters are heroes, but they're in turmoil. They're being tormented,
right,
by that which gives them relevance. You know.
Yep.
And so, with the Star Wars universe, and even with Logan now, you're seeing them say, you know what. Yeah, Wolverine is like he's pretty much unkillable, but he eventually is aging. I forgot how they Harris and I were talking about how they his healing factor is not as strong as it once was, which is why he's showing age.
Right.
I saw the commercial and the girl had him. And now everyone's like, is that his daughter? I'm like, you know what? I actually would have preferred if they didn't show. That she had claws, because they didn't originally.
Mm-hmm.
They've only just recently started showing that that the little girl in Logan has claws as well. So now we're left to speculate, oh, is that his daughter? And if that is his daughter, well, how'd the mother bear the child that had adamantium? Did the child have an adamantium skeleton when they were born? In that case, was that all baby weight? You know, characters in Rogue One?
Oh, that was another thing. Is the new, like the what they call the universe? So, a lot of fans were upset that they never covered some things that were in the books.
Okay,
and I'm not a big like book person. I've read some of them.
Okay,
but like so now they've got some of that universe. Stuff in there and the characters. How about this? The Jedi are not the only people who practice the Force.
Right,
so
right,
that
right.
That was
right,
a
right.
big thing with, what they call it, you know, it's called the Church of the Force.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to go back and look up some of the stuff.
I did too.
There's so much, and there's a lot of Easter eggs in this movie too.
Yeah.
For people, yeah.
You know, and let's you know it. Well, finish your thought, and because that's I wanted to talk about the Easter egg.
So that's a more adult thing too. Now you have this philosophical, you know, approach to the Force,
right.
And then you have like Jedis who actually train
and have
like abilities,
counts. Right?
Right, exactly. Right. So they're expanding on that. And then that was in some of the books and stuff. So it just makes it more like we need more, you know, we don't want to see the same thing over and over. Right. And they did a really great job with, you know, some of that, you know, the characters and the story and the just the way that they expanded it like that. Mm-hmm. Is a really great job.
I think so.
Yeah. The, what was it? The Force Master guy. What was it? He's a monk actually.
Right.
And then they are the guardians of the wills and of the kyber crystals.
Right.
The protectors.
Right. And which is that. That's what the planet that, I'm bad with the names, but Forrest Whitaker's character, and you can actually see when
Saw
they do
Giro.
That. Yeah. When they pull out, you actually see a Jedi, a sculpt.
Yeah.
Sculpted what looked like a statue, almost like a mountain of a Jedi crushed, laying in rubble.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. So there's a lot going on
where
you can go back if you're, you know, someone who likes to like put puzzle pieces together.
Right.
It's not just spoon-fed to you.
Yeah.
I mean, Jin's necklace, it was a kyber crystal, and I realized that the other day.
Right, right.
I mean, it's something you're never going to like, that's not given to you. You have to
search.
See that and like, you know,
say, I wonder what that was.
Yeah, go on the internet and figure out these little things that they're throwing in, which I love when they do that in movies. Because it's like when you watch it the second, third, and fourth and fifth time, it's not boring. You're getting something else out of it.
Well, and that's look, you can actually see, like, usually I'm a big Alfred Hitchcock fan, right?
Oh, hell yeah,
and
me too, dude.
And he was the master at those sort of, you know, little Easter eggs. And sometimes there was a MacGuffin that had nothing to do with...
You know MacGuffin,
huh? I studied Hitchcock, man.
Yeah, Halloween, they always run the marathon.
Yeah.
Called it last year.
Yeah. But that's what I enjoyed about... Like, and what's funny is, once again, for all Star Wars nerds that watch this movie, because when I saw it, here's when I saw it. Like, did you go the first night?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Course, right? So I'm in Rochester, people.
I don't want
to
have it ruined for me.
Yeah, right.
Didn't something happen to you again?
They ruined Force Awakens, so I said, nah, I gotta go the night it comes out. So I it worked out perfectly because I was at there's a comedy club called The Comedy Club in upstate Rochester, up in Webster, New York. Okay. They have one of those luxury movie theaters literally across the street.
Oh, those luxury.
From the parking lot of the club, I was actually looking. I actually made a video of myself. Let me see.
That's great.
Let me see if I can find the video.
Of you going to the opening?
I'm performing up there the night that Rogue One comes out. I get there Wednesday night. Rogue One comes out Thursday night, and my first show is Thursday night. Now, what made it worse was there was a blizzard. there was a blizzard the night.
Figures for Rochester.
Yeah, of course. Right? I was like, wait, so all this time, weather's been great in Rochester. The weekend I come up, it decides, yeah, you know what? We should have let's have a blizzard. Is this plugging? Let's have a blizzard here. I'm gonna play y'all. I put this on Instagram in mid December. Oh, you know what? You're right. Because I gotta take this off. But here, I put this on Instagram. Y'all can follow me and keep up with me at I am Dean Edwards, right? All right, so peep. Here you go.
Man, Dean Edwards. About here. I'm at the comedy club right now. We actually have people in the club. I'm hearing all my New York people complain about the weather. What y'all are experiencing is nothing. There's a plow behind me right now, son. It's the movie theater that I'm seeing Star Wars in is right across the street. So I might get snowed into Rogue One, but at least I'll have the Force to keep me warm because it's literally a whiteout right now. Look, see the plow? Look. Why am I out here with no jacket? Because that's how cool I really am.
So that would be the night Rogue One came out.
So were the people there?
Here's what's crazy. It was packed.
Of course.
Are you talking about to the movie or to the comedy club?
There's a lot of stuff. I mean, they're used to that.
Surprisingly, but you know what? They're not, because it took us an hour and a half to get to the radio station that morning on a trip that's normally 10 minutes. So they did not prepare for the weather, but by the time my show ended Thursday night, the snow had stopped. We drove across the street to the parking lot and just got ready to get blown away. And I'm sitting now, I'm with my boy General and my boy Deshaun. And he's Star Wars savvy. Deshaun isn't, and Deshaun fell asleep during the movie. I bought us tickets. I still feel like he owes me something. Dinner at P.F. Chang's, he's treating. So we go in, and every time there's like an Easter egg, I'm like, oh!
Yeah.
And they're looking at me like, what? I was like, no, you don't you? That's one of the dancers from Return of the Jedi that was dancing for Jabba the Hutt, you know, or when they were playing, playing space chess?
Yeah.
They were playing space. Like, they were...
Blue Milk?
Huh? Blue Milk from the original Star Wars the cantina? On Tatooine.
There were two cantina characters.
Two cantina. What's his name? Yeah. Jeez. It's funny? This is how bad we both are. We both wrote down the creature. We're wanted men. We're wanted men. My friend doesn't like you either. We're wanted men. We're wanted on 12 systems.
It was Ponda Baba?
Yeah, Ponda Baba and the doctor.
Dr. Cornelius.
Dr. Cornelius.
Yeah.
Dr.
Yeah.
Cornelius. And that was also interesting that in this movie, yo, dude, I spent the first 40 minutes of this movie saying, is Peter Cushing still alive?
That was
eerie.
Some weird shit going on, dude. Like,
because the dude that played, Peter Cushing is an actor from back in the days that happened to play Grand Moff Tarkin, right? Charming to the last, right? and they CGI'd him. The entire movie, he was CGI'd into. He died in what, 92, 94?
Yep.
But they managed to...
They resurrect him.
Resurrect him for a lot of this movie.
For like a good part of
it. For a good portion of this movie. Yeah. He's in it, and it's not CGI. His CGI, which was throughout the movie, to me was better than the Princess Leia Easter egg.
Yeah.
Hers looked more like... I was like, oh, okay, that looks more Final Fantasy.
They're not saying how they did it either.
You know what? They don't need to. I'm fine with them not saying how.
Well, because they don't want to. You know, that's technology. So,
yeah. You know
they might own patents on that.
Stuff, yeah. But. So let them keep the secret, and that would, because you know it's funny. Listening to because your powers are weak, old man. I could hear. First of all, I can hear anytime it's not James Earl Jones, which is pretty much in any video game
right. That
you see is not James Earl Jones. Right. I actually get annoyed because anytime I hear them do it, I'm like,
it's not close.
My Vader is way better than all of these video games. I got to actually talk to my voiceover agent about that. I'm like, dude, we got
to... What, they can't afford him or something?
Well, James Earl Jones, and you know what? Video games now have become a second... income for a lot of, there are a lot of actors that if you go to their IMDb pages.
Oh, it's a big business. Yeah.
They make, because video games make money. Like for instance, God of War, which the story kind of ended, the story of Kratos ended, And now they're revisiting it, and he might be, instead of Greek gods, Greek mythology, now it might move to Norse mythology.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you've seen the trailer. The trailer is dope, right? For and they always, this is how you know is going to be a big game. When they show you a teaser for the trailer 2 years before the movie even comes out, yeah, or before the game. Look, I'm seeing only the game. 2 years before the game even comes out. So I saw this trailer. Harris put me onto the trailer last summer, I want to say. And I'm watching the commercial for this. I'm like, yo, when's this coming out? In a couple of months? And like, I go into GameStop. They're like, not until Christmas 2017. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah.
And I might be premature on that. So, you know, actors make money. Now, they don't make as much money. Someone like James Earl Jones, though, I could see them saying, you know what, we have to, we got to pay for James Earl Jones. But I've gotten close to doing a couple of video games where I was going to act in them and also do the body motion camera.
Yes, motion tracking.
Yeah, motion tracking. And that money was okay, but when you do the math on knowing I think it was might have been one of the Grand Theft Autos, check that I was like, yeah, this really isn't,
considering how much they make.
Considering how much money, because do the math, y'all. Do the math of a brand new video game, right? Let's say, instead of, even though I know it's probably $60, let's say a new video game hits the stores is $50, right? Say they spent $5 million, right? But yeah. Let's say $10 million.
Well, yeah.
Right? Say they spent $10 million on the production of the game and everything. They do 50 and they sell, let's say in the first week, because the GTA is like a big title. So they probably say they only sold $1 million.
You got rentals too.
$1 million plus the rentals plus all $50 a pop, and you sell $1 million, you've made $50 million off the nipple. Am I right?
Yeah.
Right. Hold up. Right. Yeah. You've made $50 million profit. I'm sorry. Take away the $10 million or even $20 million that you spent to make it. You're making your money back, and they're making way more than that because they're charging more than that. Anytime I'm going to buy a brand new game, whether it's NBA Live series or it's a God of War series, and I don't do a lot of video games, but the video games that I happen to play are like, you know, video games that are part of the cultural landscape where everybody's running out to buy. My agent, I remember one time, one of my agents, he's not there anymore, but Ed, he was like, oh, dude, have you completed God of War 3 yet? I'm like, word? You play? But they bring people together.
Yeah, yeah.
I was actually surprised that there wasn't. I know they did the Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah, that was successful.
Which was successful. Yeah. I was surprised they didn't do one for Rogue One. I was wondering if that's, it was because
not James. Say again? In Battlefront, that's not James, right?
James
Earl Jones. Are you right?
No, I'm sorry. I zoomed out. I'm like, James Cameron. He didn't direct. Wrong movie series. Nah. Yeah. I can hear it.
Yeah, I know.
Little things. When James Earl Jones, because he's so eloquent, so when he says power, he says power for James Earl Jones is spelled P-A-H-H-W-E-R. Power, right? Most of the times I've seen it on video games, it's power. You know, the
you
little
it,
thing.
Man.
And
yeah,
some,
that's
someone,
that's
someone
it.
Like
that's
myself, it. Because I'm, a mimic, mm-hmm. and I'm a big fan of James Earl Jones from Conan. The riddle is, yes, you know what it is, boy. Shall I tell you? What is steel compared to the high? Like how he how he extends a word hand into hand that wields it. And so so his mouth, and that also comes from watching and just studying someone in interviews and in their performance, that his mouth gets wider, power. So the same way he said, and hand, and it comes, it's almost like Michigan J. Frog. Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime girl, right? So he's opening his mouth to this. It's not power, like it's not power. It's not coming from the front of his mouth. It's coming from the side because his mouth can get wider. Power, hand, with the hand that wields it, you know, and those are things that the cats that
It was when he was the king. Huh? Give me some of the king.
King Jeff. Right. How about the king of the jungle? Simba, you deliberately disobeyed me. They don't go messing with your dad. Look, dad. It's coming out the side of your dad. You know, like it's not only capturing the vocal performance, but you have to understand how these people actually talk, you know, how they speak. I gotta call my agent. Podcast is over. I need to be Vader.
Sounds great.
One of these
I always said that. It's you do it spot on.
Power. If you only know, Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father. You're the father. Like he just, and that's what was, yo, the dope, one of my favorite scenes in the movie is when he force choked
the end.
When he did the force choke.
Okay.
But not even at the end when you first saw Vader.
Right.
He's like, so I'm still in charge, and Vader's walking away. And then you start hearing the sped up heartbeat and the air gets tighter, and then you see Vader turn around. Don't choke on your are you kidding me? Am I forgetting that? The line, don't choke on your aspirations.
Yes.
Right. You know, and same thing. It was like the Vader that you first met in 77, where as you wish. Like Vader has this thing where he's no Artie Fuqua, right? He's not excitable. Everything with Vader, which is contrast to who Anakin Skywalker was, who was just fly off the handle. And so it actually makes sense that over time he matured. He said, I don't need to fly off the handle. I'm Darth Vader.
Well, they got the right guy to do his, I mean, James was a great...
Brilliant. He originated... the role that Denzel Washington's nominated for, Troy Maxson. If I'm not mistaken, am I mistaken? No, I think he did. He played Troy Maxson in the original Fences on Broadway for August Wilson back in the 80s. And James Earl Jones really is a national treasure, man. I mean, the most popular to me, I think probably the most popular voice in pop culture, but Morgan Freeman is creeping up on him because, but Morgan, even though Morgan Freeman came up around the same time, he started I'd say he's a class or two after James Earl Jones. I listened to James Earl Jones as an actor, Morgan Freeman now, and Morgan Freeman has a great voice.
Yeah.
But it ain't James Earl Jones. James Earl Jones has that bottom.
Yeah.
That bottom, dude, that just captures you.
Bass,
like,
man.
Damn.
Yep. That's why for that character, it's perfect.
Character is perfect, especially once again in stark contrast.
Yeah.
But I love you, Padme. Oh, no.
Because now he's more machine than man.
Exactly.
And the voice goes with it. So.
Don't choke on your arm.
Here's another Easter. He was in a tank. Like
yeah,
Luke
he was
in
the tank, like Luke was in Empire, yep. and in Empire he was also they showed a portion of him getting the helmet reapplied.
Whatever.
The tank. I'm trying to think of other Easter eggs. When did you realize that it was you know, before I go to other Easter eggs. At what point in the movie did you realize how close time-wise to the original Star Wars it was?
I was trying to figure it out, and I was just so overwhelmed with this, with the special effects.
Right.
So for me, it was, I know you was earlier, which I got to give you props for that. Because I think you said it was something about a ship or something you noticed.
Yeah.
Or so, but for me, it was probably 10 minutes or 5 minutes before I kind of like figured it out. I was like, okay, this is going into now four. New Hope.
Right.
But I didn't have a clue.
Yeah.
I didn't follow the hype.
Okay.
I intentionally stayed away from the news.
Yeah, you were wise.
Because they sort of, you know, they knew that. They leaked that stuff.
Well, because I even was bugged. Like, I saw... And this is not to take away from, you know, whether Kevin Smith or Chris Hardwick, but people that went to the premiere.
Which is,
Even them saying things like, let me tell you, the last 15 minutes. Once you've said that, you've planted a seed in my in my mind where I'm like, damn, now I'm sitting, and as much as I might be enjoying the entire movie, I'm now waiting for when that final 15 minutes is. And once it happens, you're like, oh, this must be the final 15 minutes, you know? But for me, with I started not even like jumping ahead, but I you're watching the movie and you're not sure when it takes place.
Yep.
But when they're in the Rebel control room and you're recognizing all of the characters from the original movies.
Yeah. And you see Leia's father or stepfather.
Right, right. When you said, when you saw Organa, Jimmy Smith's character.
You kind of said, something's here.
Right. And then when he said, he teased you with,
I know somebody.
I know somebody, you know, I got a friend. I got a friend of a friend. I got a friend of a friend. I'm going to, I got to get a message to him and,
That was a hint.
Yeah, you know, so they were nice teasers without showing their full hand. You know, they were nice teasers to say, "Yo, check these out." If you know the real story and all of the backstory in the original movies, which take place after this, then you'll know what's going on and you'll see what's on the horizon. And so,
if you don't, it's still.
Yo, listen, for anybody that's listening that hasn't seen Rogue One, I wrote in the credits of the podcast that this is filled with spoilers. But if you listened anyway and we gave these things away anyway, you still can enjoy this movie. You know, you still will, especially if you're not familiar with any of the original. I think real fans of the original series would get disappointed if they heard some of the things that we said. Yeah. But they've seen this movie three times by now.
Yes.
You know?
It's not our fault.
It's no secret at this point that Darth... Guess what? Spoiler alert, Darth Vader's in it.
That we knew, though.
You know, when Vader's ship... Like, they also showed how evil Vader really had become.
Oh, that's
like thing. If you watch Vader in this, Vader is more evil in this movie than he probably was in any other movie, with the exception, and he was Anakin at the time, when he killed all the children at the Jedi temple.
Yes.
That was still Anakin technically. He hadn't
That was vicious.
Or did he dub him already?
He had, yes.
He had dubbed him Darth Vader. You are now Darth Vader.
Another good one.
I got a couple of them, but they always wind up back at Tracy Morgan. I prefer doing Tracy. Could you play with that chocolate starfish? No, stop. Tracy's so nasty. Big up, Mark Theobald.
If you did like a show for like Star Wars fans, they would love it.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know how you would do it. Just if you just literally just did
a bunch of characters.
Yeah. I think you could sell out.
This week in Star Wars.
I think people would show up for that.
I know. That's funny. You know, you might have just planted something in our head, Mike. You got to be a producer on it whenever it happens.
Do you remember? I think it was, what's his name? Who's the comic? He does all the characters and then he plays them all. Not Eddie, but the other dude.
Mark Leguizamo?
John Leguizamo.
John Leguizamo. Okay.
John Leguizamo.
Yeah. He did something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he does multiple.
Yeah, yeah.
He does it on stage.
Freak. Yeah, he's had a couple of one-man shows where he just plays a multitude of characters. Maybe there is something. That might be my next creative. As I wait to hear about these other things that I've been working on, it's funny you said it. I was just saying to myself earlier this week, I was like, I need something else. Because now we're in a holding pattern of waiting. When you're pitching and selling, there's that moment where you're like, we gotta wait now.
You just did Palpatine perfectly. Like,
yes. It's like, well, Palpatine is all about letting your mouth hang. You want this, don't you?
You don't know the power.
Now witness the power of this fully armed and operational battle session.
Do you practice this in like the...
Nah. I know you don't.
That's the funny thing, you really don't.
I always... The way I did impressions, man, if someone's... You have to be entertaining to me.
I don't know how you do it.
And... Yeah. Palpatine, the Emperor from the Star Wars series, is hilarious to me, especially
if you find him funny.
I think this dude is brilliant in the way that the character, the Emperor, was mocking Luke, knowing Luke Skywalker. Like, if you look at the subtext of a lot of the Star Wars movies, there's some funny, because as a comedian, I'm finding gems, you know, I'm always finding. The funny is something. And so the fact that Palpatine, Luke Skywalker is there with his dad that he just learned within the last, I don't know how many months or year or two, this dude that you destroyed his house in the Death Star. And then he cut off your hand.
Oh,
and you learned after he cut off your hand. Oh, by the way, guess what? Your dad, right?
Yep.
And now you've made a name across the galaxy, and he has a name across the galaxy, and you're just waiting for this showdown of your absentee dad, and then you decide, here, I'm just going to go turn myself into him, literally go and surrender to him. And now he's going to bring me to meet his boss.
What's the other thing?
Good.
Oh, man.
You know, when he's talking junk to Sam Jackson, he's like, no. This dude is hilarious. His voice, his mouth always hangs to the side like Tracy Morgan. Like, look at me. This is Tracy Morgan, and this is Emperor Palpatine.
Oh, my God.
And so, Tracy Morgan, what if Tracy Morgan was Luke Skywalker? Oh, you want to now witness the power of this fully armed and operational battle station. I don't like how you're talking to me right now. I got some dudes in the project. Come up here. We'll run through this whole Death Star. You ain't even got it finished. Where's the spackle?
This is good.
You need some spackle.
I like this.
This is an unfinished building. The Death Star and the Death Star is the projects. I seen a stormtrooper pissing in an elevator. I asked him, what you doing? This is the Death Star. He's like, this is the projects. They don't treat you like this in the Dagobah system.
Dagobah.
Shoot, I've been to the Dagobah system. I've been to Hoth.
The swamps.
It's cold out there in Hoth, and it's swampy on in the Dagobah system. But this the projects. It's nasty up here.
I was
trying to see how long ago.
You just do anybody, man.
That was ridiculous.
Remember that one time you did Paul Giamatti?
I said to somebody that... I was telling someone recently I could do Giamatti, but I don't have a joke to I don't have a joke to go with it. So one of my favorites was Philip Michael Hoffman. Philip Michael Hoffman You know, because when you get into that voice and he would start off really low and then wind up very intense, and then you realize that Philip Seymour Hoffman sounds exactly like Louis Black when he gets angry.
And that's how
you pick up on you notice things. John Malkovich has a whiny voice and he has a slight lisp.
Yep.
John Malkovich always is yelling even when he's whispering. You know, you pick up. I entertain myself. Yeah, that's why people. I saw Epps. We were in L.A. We were both at the Laugh Factory. Ran into Epps, and he gave me a shout out. He was like, "Yeah, I know. Dean and I. Damn, it's been 20 years since Day Day, and next Friday." He's like, "Me and Dean, we used to run through them clubs, you know, and we did." And I remember one time. And I might have said, you know, I repeat myself often on the podcast, but I remember I had my old my Hyundai Excel, my base model Hyundai Excel, and we're driving. I think did he live in Queens or Brooklyn? I was giving him a ride, or maybe the Bronx. Wherever I was giving him a ride, or maybe we were just going from a black room in Brooklyn to a spot in the city, or vice versa. I remember we were riding across the Williamsburg Bridge. And someone had stole, when I lived in the BX, I love the BX, y'all. Before I'm prefacing that this by saying that because I don't like how people come down on the Bronx. Yeah, the Bronx. Bronx is burning, you know. But I did, someone stole my radio out of my base model Hyundai. And so I had a little cheap boombox that it was my girlfriend at the time, future wife, and she had a boombox, and I used to just put that behind the driver's side seat, and that was my rape. That's how I listened to Stretch and Bobbito and Funkmaster Flex and all the music, and then if the batteries died, it was just me, and so I was just talking to myself. And I've always been very comfortable entertaining me, you know. And so I'll never forget Mike said, "Oh, nigga, well, that's why you come up with all them sounds and voices. You ain't got no stereo, you know." Dean over there, he making noise in his car because he ain't got no stereo, you know. But it was he was being the eye. He was like, "Yo, that's crazy. That's because I sometimes at Harris and them will say, you know, Dean." When I was staying with my boy Sydney, I know I've told this before. I was staying with Sydney. This is for like new listeners that might not be aware. Staying with Sydney and Sid, I was staying at Sydney's in Burbank, and our boy CP was staying with him, right? And I think Sid might have been out of town, and he was getting back like a day or two later, so it was just me and CP at the crib. And I don't know when I'm talking to myself half the time, right? What? I monologue a lot. I'm like a supervillain that monologues a lot, but more so that's how, like, people say, do you practice? I don't practice. I just quote and mimic, you know, sometimes.
For the fun of it. Like,
for the fun of it, yeah. You know. And so one day, I don't know what I said. I don't know how I said it. I don't know whose voice I was doing. But CP's in the back, and I see dude. I'm sitting over there, and I just see his head pop out like, and his head sticks out like, okay. I was like, and I started laughing. I was like, oh, what's up? He's like, oh, nah, dude. No, you know, Sydney warned me. I said, warned you? I said, warned you about what? He was like, nah, Sid told me, yeah, you know, Dean's going to be here, and there's a good chance. He said, Dean's going to be here. And there's a good chance that you might hear a full-fledged conversation, and it's only Dean's the only one in the room, and you're gonna think he's on the cell phone, but he's not. It's just Dean entertaining himself. And that's hey man, don't judge me. It's what I do. It's how I keep myself entertained. Yeah, how do you segue from that? From your own personal
that whole
psychosis.
That was you gotta do something with that.
Yeah,
there's
something
there.
Yeah, baby. I guess I should.
I like how you got you worked in the jokes into some of your new stuff. Well, Star Wars jokes.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, you know, because I'm a big Star Wars junkie, yeah. and you know what? Here's what's funny. Whenever here's my plan of my trifecta of specials, at least three. I'll do three for the plan, and then every other special afterwards is just me getting older and being more cantankerous and a curmudgeon of sorts, right? But my first special is For the Muck and Funny, right? Then I'm going to drop another special within the same year because I want to do like DMX did, right? DMX's first two albums came out within... He was the only... I think he might have been the only artist to go multi-platinum on two different albums, two different original albums, not one, a live version, within a year's time. And so I always said, you know what? I want to do that. I want to drop my first comedy album. And just when people like, yo, this is amazing, hit them in the head with another banger. Because I have, like, you hear people say, man, I got like hours worth of material. But I'm you know, like I said previous, 25 years later, you know, I have a lot of material.
See, now Star Wars is relevant again.
And Star Wars is relevant.
So,
and so
when you're doing these voices here on this podcast, this is like,
right.
A lot of people know, I mean.
Right.
It's really cool.
Yeah, man. And so my second joint, I want to include the Star Wars material because I already have like pretty much locked in what I want to talk about, you know, like the socially conscious material mixed with, you know, a bunch of impressions and family stuff. And do more of that on the second joint, but also go into like my passions like Star Wars in my silly and perverse way. And then actually do release the joint at Comic Con, right?
Oh wow! Yeah,
and do that like that's these are all plans.
That's
so when it happens, I'm willing it into existence. This is what I will be doing. I will be dropping my second special in conjunction with Comic Con and my Star Wars nerddom, and maybe I'll have a foreword. By Kevin Smith, since he's such a look. Speaking of Star Wars, just saw some stormtroopers on the.
Here you go. It's an omen.
It's an omen. You got to read them. You got to pay attention to the omens, Papa. You got to listen. And then my third special, I'm doing a dirty special. My plan
dirty,
is
you're gonna be covered in mud.
Nah, he's stupid. Nah, like a bluer. I'm gonna go a little edgier,
okay. Just
to flex. Cause I don't want people I can curse. I choose not to,
yes.
Right? But I can, and I want to show people that I can flip. That I can flip. What people consider a dirtier, more adult, edgier comedy set. With anybody else that does, but my first two specials are to show y'all I'm nice without it. You don't even miss any profanity. You don't even realize that I'm not hitting y'all with profanity. And then my third special, I'm gonna say, all right, this is for everybody that said, yo, I wonder what Dean Edwards would be like instead of saying Father Muck, he said Mother, you know. I had to tease y'all with it. I can't let y'all give y'all the full flavor. I'm trying to think of any other before we bounce up out of here. Any other Easter eggs, man?
Oh, I got it. Forget it. There's so many, dude.
Yeah, there were a lot.
What about the Red Five?
Oh, dude, yo, that's one
that I
elbowed General. I was like, yo, and he was like, what? I was like, that's Luke Skywalker, Red Five standing by. Even those dudes were. Gold leader, you know, the Y-Wing captain. There were a bunch, because those were CGI too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, those dudes were added in too. I was like, that's amazing. That is what I'm referring to, for those that aren't Star Wars fans, was that there are characters, sort of auxiliary characters, that were in the original Star Wars that were pilots, and they happened to also use them in Rogue One, which then leads you to understand how they wound up in the original Star Wars. And I won't say anything more about Red 5 other than Luke Skywalker. Luke Skywalker wound up Red 5, so you can deduct what happened to the Red 5 in Rogue One. What else? What else? The Rogue 5, Rogue One. The Rebels at the very end, in the last really 5 minutes, when you see Vader's ship.
Yeah.
I thought, you know what? That was menacing.
The escape pods before
the escape pods.
Yeah. They need to be checked.
When the Rebels were waiting to see if they were boarded, and then it was just black. It was this black hallway, and all of a sudden you heard.
Yeah.
And then the lightsaber lit up, and the only light, you saw the silhouette of Vader because he's wearing black, but he was illuminated by the light. Dude, that was scary. Like, I actually felt bad for the dudes in that hallway. I was like, yo,
can I tell you that people were cheering?
Yeah, well, that's what's crazy. I'm like, wait, you're cheering? These guys are getting killed. Yeah.
The people love Vader so much.
Yeah. He needs it. Like, I think you suggested they should give him his own standalone.
I think it's going to happen.
Movie.
It's going to happen.
You know, I hope so.
I think it is. But just to watch the people in front of me, to the left, right of me, when there's this, the good guys are getting just slapped around. They're getting just their asses kicked, and people are laughing and cheering. Yeah. Then you know it's like, wow, this is
bigger than good versus evil.
Yeah, this is people want to see this because it's they're so in touch with
the
folklore of it. Yeah, this character means so much from maybe their childhood or whatever, and they just love this character. That he's doing something horrible, and it's exciting.
Like I said, I think it was exciting because aside from when he, because you didn't see him destroy the Jedi Temple with the kids. You just saw when he turned on his lightsaber and that kid kind of stepped back like, I think that was George Lucas's son, as a matter of fact. The kid that played I think when he, you know. So anyway, this was the first time you saw how, like, they made Vader ruthless in The Empire Strikes Back because he was just killing, the apology accepted, Admiral, you know. But it was implied violence.
Yeah,
right?
They were like no match. Like did you see their faces?
Dude,
they saw him coming. There was just fear.
Like first, he starts walking towards him. Look at the layers of it. First, he's walking towards him as they're shooting at him. Then he's blocking
everything. Yeah,
their blasts.
And then he pulls out the.
Then he pulls one of them towards him.
Yeah, that's right. Through the
slashes him. Another one he raises up to the ceiling, and dude, I love this scene even though it's vile. He raises up to the ceiling, so the dude is gasping for air.
That's where people were cheering,
struggling.
Right? At that, yeah.
Vader passes him, and is slashing everyone in front of him, and then he's like, "Oh, I didn't forget about you." Doesn't look at him and just. Slashes him with his lightsaber while he's hanging in the air.
Yep.
That's evil.
Yeah.
This dude's evil.
It was crazy.
When you see the lightsaber come through the blast door.
Yep.
It showed how strong
and their eyes are like
just
light like what is
they're like, what the hell is this thing?
This ain't
right.
Yeah.
Right. Because it made you wonder, was Vader, were people really aware of who Darth Vader was? Or was this the first time you really got to see and learn who he was versus the legend?
Yeah.
Because then it rolls right into...
Because he's been hanging out in his castle, which is another cool thing that they showed.
Another Easter egg.
He's got a spot.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a place where he chills. I hang out with Darth Vader.
And it's the same spot where...
Same spot where he got decimated and burned up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Dude.
What'd you think of Forrest Whitaker's character?
I understand that he's a character from the Clone Wars animated. I haven't watched. Look, it's right there. I keep telling myself I'm gonna watch him. I didn't, you know, the actor in me didn't like his choice.
Jin.
Yeah.
Why are you here? Why I tried to baby, why you know? I was like, why is? Because
he had an almost, which made sense in the Star Wars universe, but. I was like, why does he have an accent? You're Forrest Whitaker. Like,
he had one of Jabba's dudes with him. That's another Easter egg.
Yeah, right, yeah. The dude with the long...
Yep. So they know each other. Yeah. Like, they kind of... that's another one. And there's a couple more. I mean, there's a list of them. You get it. Saw Gerrera. That was his character.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was interesting.
Well, because he was similar. He was also part animation robot,
right?
Like Vader,
something going on with this mask,
and he had this. But he kept. It seemed like. Tell me if you felt this way. He seemed like he was getting high.
That's what I said. He was vaping.
I was like, he's vapor. He was vaping.
Yeah, he was vaping.
They vaping out of space.
But he, what was interesting about him was...
So brothers only ones get high and out of space? ain't but four or five of us in the galaxy far, far away, and we got one...
So you got the brother?
We got the pimp with the perm in Empire Strikes Back with Lando Calrissian.
Oh, that's funny, dude.
We got the one Black Jedi Masters, smoking. His lightsaber is colored after Kool-Aid, purple Kool-Aid. And Saw Gerrera has a Spanish name, but gets high.
Spanish name. It's actually S-A-W.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess last name, yeah. But first it's S-A-W, like Saw.
Okay, Saw, okay.
Yeah. It's two names.
I saw him getting high.
What was interesting about him was he was like part of a faction.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to see that the Rebel Alliance wasn't really all together
right,
yet.
Right.
They had some, like,
factions,
disagreements with who, like, he was
that were almost, more extremists.
He went on his own.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, cool to see, like, this more adult-themed thing.
Because mm-hmm.
that happens.
It does.
Something that goes on. So that was good. And then, yo, the Hammerhead Corvette.
Ah.
When they busted that out. And he said, ram it. And the thing went through the shield.
The shield yeah. and the hull yeah. of the Star Destroyer.
Yep.
And you saw when it just started crumbling away. Because there's one scene
the
in that.
Call the Hammerhead Corvette.
Call in the hammer. Does everyone of that race have the same voice? Sound like they've been smoking unfiltered Marlboros for years.
Yeah, but he, because that's another, I saw that they said the Hammerhead Corvette, which is an interesting name.
Well, think about when that's from the originals.
Right, right.
So Corvettes were popular right, cars.
Right, yeah.
So well, Lucas.
Mark Hamill starred in, what was it, Corvette Summer?
Yep.
Yeah, that was his second movie after Star Wars. Yeah, so I remember when I watched that again. There's someone that they showed someone falling as the Star Destroyer was getting destroyed. I was like, damn, that looked like someone really got hurt.
Yeah.
Wow, is he okay?
When they rammed it, oh my God, that was so great.
Did they say whether or not is that a sacrifice mission or can it pull off? Because I was wondering if it gets lodged in, if the ship gets lodged into the other ship and then can't pull back.
I don't remember seeing. Yeah, I think it's...
Yeah. That's it.
I think that's a suicide thing.
A suicide mission.
Yeah.
Sort of like Idris Elba in Prometheus.
I just, that whole scene where it went through.
Yeah.
Was just insane. The CGI.
Yeah, and watching all the pieces really just good. Flake off of the Star Destroyer.
They got some really, really great. I can't even call it CGI because I don't know what it is.
What the technology
if it's models
right.
or
right.
a mix.
Or combination.
You know, I know it is. A right. bunch of things going on, but they definitely are, you know, they're not cheap.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
One way to say it. Wasn't a cheap approach.
I mean, in 3D, that was insane.
I
see what Kevin Smith was talking about now with that.
Yeah.
And then they had black stormtroopers now, or like,
right.
And then AT-ATs were like orange, black.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like for the, I was wondering if that was a, for the camouflage aspect, you know. I was wondering what the point of the black stormtroopers were. As opposed to just the standard white stormtroopers, because similar to like
we
the Force Awakens, their uniforms and masks are modified slightly.
Oh, they're not stormtroopers. They're
The Knights of the First Order.
Yeah, that's it. And then the transport that carried that was like a throwback. It was from the original.
Yeah, okay.
That thing that you know. Walking thing,
right.
I think it's called the Have W or something. Okay. Juggernaut.
Okay.
Hammerhead Corvette. That was so funny.
Bring the Hammerhead Corvette.
That was so unexpected because.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Bringing the what? That would be a who? A Hammerhead what? Because as a matter of fact, when I first saw it, I was like, did he just say Hammerhead Corvette?
There was a call for Captain Antilles too. That's another thing.
Yes. Yes.
And it's referenced.
Who was in the original? Yeah.
X-wing pilot from the Yep. So definitely one of my, I don't know, top two or three Star Wars.
Oh, word.
Empire. Yeah.
You like it like that?
Of course, Empire. I don't know. You try to order them.
Well, that's you know what.
I don't really
which was
do
inevitable.
That.
Dave. I can't think of his last name. He's friend to the Dave Siegel. He's a comic. He's a white comic or Jewish, and he always is on the road featuring for black comics, which is hilarious. Whether it's Pops whether it's John Witherspoon, he featured for Witherspoon a lot. He also featured for some more. Quake. I've seen him feature for myself a bunch of times. And Dave put up something saying favorite Star Wars movies in order. And I wrote a long, what started as small turned into a long explanation. I said, you know what? You almost can't compare. I almost don't like saying.
Yeah.
It's a Star Wars. It's definitely a Star Wars movie, but it's not. It's not like the rest, and so it's apples and oranges, you know, if you're comparing them, because, like I said, it's a war movie.
See, I look at it from a filmmaker's point of view.
Okay.
That's how I look at it.
Okay.
So I'm saying to myself, as far as the production and the acting and the story, the script, you know, how do I rank it? So, you know, I give it, you know, it's up there because I think they really put, you know, a lot of stuff in that just was amazing.
Would you say
it's that good, man?
Would you say Empire still is your top? You're out of all of them.
Yeah, because when it at the time
based on when it came out
so factoring that's like, kind of like inflation. You're factoring in inflation or something like but and then you have like this nostalgia for some of them,
right?
So maybe that's sort of an influence, but just from the from the writing and the CGI, cinematography, the complex characters and stuff.
With backstories.
The backstories, you know, for the
because that's what's amazing about the first two Star Wars.
Yeah.
Or really the original trilogy was that the backstory that that Lucas had to have for pretty much all of these characters, you know, going into the original Star Wars.
I think that's why it's, plus now it gives the other films more meaning.
Right.
That's another thing,
right,
which is not really possible with, you know, the way that they put it right before A New Hope.
Right.
And then they put it, you know, they get the defector and why this thing is so fragile.
Right.
And who are these new characters and they're all going to die because there are these suicide people that come before the Rebel Alliance that we see that sort of doesn't die.
Right.
Okay, so these guys who sacrifice just to get one thing, a map. Okay.
Right.
So, you know, they didn't really
people
have powers.
People that had to fight the Rebel Alliance to believe them.
Right,
into,
right.
Into right. Letting them,
so all those, like, nuances, mm-hmm. all those complex things, I kind of like, that's what I like. Right. I don't like spoon-fed stuff.
Right.
But, you know, I'm still a fan of the stuff that's, you know, from the 70s or 80s,
right.
whatever.
Right.
Yeah, it was, I see what they're going to do next now. So I think there's going to be a standalone Vader. And now we get another one. This year.
Right.
I mean, they're planning it out great.
The last, what is it? The
seven now.
The last Jedi?
We got seven now.
Yeah.
And
seven and a half, technically. Right.
Yeah. Sad about Carrie Fisher, though.
Yeah. That was wow.
Especially after seeing it. Right. It had just come out. Right. And then now it's in the news. She's
right.
gone and her mom.
And then her mom, dude, that's talk about love.
Yeah.
Your mom loved you so much. She was like, why am I living? You know, a day later.
Wait, and she wrapped shooting and had an issue on the plane. That's when she had a heart attack.
So hold on, she was coming home from the shooting. Oh, I didn't know that's what she was coming home from.
I actually said, "Wow, Matt, she died up." Like, well, she had the issue. I think she got to the hospital, but she was coming back from.
Oh, I didn't know.
And Kathleen Kennedy said that this, no matter what happened, mm-hmm. you know, even though she. You know, she's dead. They wrote her out already. So it was almost like I don't know if there's a positive thing in any of it, but it's like a fitting thing. Like, yeah, they weren't bringing her back. She was done. Anyways, I don't know if we're going to see something in seven where she dies, but yeah, they weren't planning on using her again.
Oh, wow.
You know, no more Han Solo, except for maybe his spinoff.
No more Han Solo.
But she was flying back from the last day of shooting.
I didn't know that till now. I knew she was flying back from overseas, but I didn't know she was flying back from shooting.
So, I mean, the thing, it's kind of like weird. It's kind of like going full circle. The thing that made you famous now sort of takes you away because you were, you know, leaving it.
It's
kind of, there's all these, like, things attached to that. But,
Don't want to end it like that, though. Well, don't worry. When all else fails, go back to Tracy. Tracy always lifts your spirits.
Let me say, Prince died?
Yeah, he died. He died.
Carrie Fisher died too. I should have stuck in my head now.
it's stuck in everybody's head. That was Princess Leia. That was Postcards from the Edge.
People were laughing at that though. You said, "I know it's not inappropriate. Is it inappropriate?" You know, when you, that's what you said.
Well, yeah, the joke I was doing. Yeah. You know, people were saying
that was my first.
That was my first Woody. Yeah. Anytime I see,
I think she would have laughed at that. So that's why
I think
good.
So. Yeah. You know what? I'm not. Anybody that's on some too soon, I'm like, hey, man, funny is funny. Y'all are too quick to put these borders around.
You know what I didn't know about her? She was a big consultant on scripts. She helped a lot of people write scripts in Hollywood for free.
Yeah. I didn't know for free, though.
Not all for free, but just
a
lot of friends. She made a lot of friends. You know, like if you called me up and said, oh, you should take a look at this. And then she would edit stuff and throw suggestions in. And apparently that happened a lot.
That I never knew.
And she punched up. Yeah, it's there. She punched up a lot of famous movies and never got credit.
Really?
Because she was doing it as a favor. Yeah. If you go and look at there's a list where where people were paying tribute to, like, yo, you don't know this, but in so-and-so film, that's her line. Wow. She put that, She was a really good writer.
Yeah.
Really good writer.
Yeah, wow. You know what, so, I think I'll probably have to, I might have to now look that up. Because, I'd heard that she had touched up a couple of scripts previously. But I never knew that she actually touched up so many and didn't get credit for them.
Yep. I mean, that's what people do in the business. They make friends and then they do that, but she was good at it.
Right. That goes to say
the wedding
something.
Singer.
She punched up the wedding singer.
Yeah, is this stuff on the wedding singer?
Yeah, dude. Now that I never. You wouldn't even hold up. Carrie Fisher. Here I'm reading this. Carrie Fisher was more than just an actress. She was one of Hollywood's best script doctors. Dude, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I list there.
By Nicole Bittet.
And never Carrie's bragged about it.
Talent extended far beyond portraying princess. They had to get the Star Wars reference in. And the witty writer was also creative mind behind some of Hollywood's popular films. Man, wow. I'm not going to... Outbreak? Really? Hook?
Yeah. Hook, yeah. We, like,
wow.
All different genres.
Wow, and these are the notes. Dude, that's crazy.
Yep.
You know what? Y'all could... What site is this on? You can just, this is from an article in the Daily News, New York Daily News online, but it's by Nicole Bittet, Bittette. Y'all can look it up. So salute, Carrie Fisher, man. As a fan, I had no idea.
Appreciate it more now.
Yeah, you do. You know what else I appreciate more than that?
She wasn't just sexy in that suit there.
right. on Tatooine.
Yeah.
Now, I appreciate, especially in some, what you just said, I appreciate that she did it for love of her friends and just to make a project better, which is really, that's what artists do.
Yep.
You know, there's like, I love when friends of mine, I'm saying this so y'all don't just come up to me in clubs like, yeah, man, I like, you should do, you know. But, you know, I love when comics give like ideas for tags, and I like when, if you're a friend, I'll give you a tag and say, yo, you should call back. I thought you were gonna do this, and then you see that light bulb where they're like, oh, you know what I mean? Shout out to Mark Theobald out there making us proud in Hollywood, writing on Tracy Morgan's new show on FX. Yo, Big Mike, thanks again, man, for coming back for a second week in a row, man. We got some more stuff cooking. Y'all can follow me on all social media at I Am Dean Edwards. Make sure you click that button that says subscribe. Make sure you download. Make sure you tell a friend about the Father Mugger Protocol, man. All love. We hope that if you weren't a Star Wars fan, that you at least understand more in the Star Wars canon and universe now, or at least in the galaxy far, far away. All love is your man, Dean Edwards. Two fingers, and we are out of here. Ratchet now.